Good morning. We gathered in God's house to meditate on His Word, to sing songs of praise and offer up our prayers and petitions. And this morning our focus of our sermon meditation is Jesus' command to love one another even as He loves us. We begin our service with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, fill our hearts with the light of Your Word. Lead us to confess our sins and to rejoice in Your promise of salvation. Move us to love as we have been loved and to live as You would have us live, to the glory of Your name. Amen. First hymn, since we are still in the Easter season, this joyful Eastertide. Please stand. Our worship liturgy continues on the bottom of page 2 of the bulletin. And we conduct the service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. We confess that we are sinful by nature and have sinned against You in our thoughts, words, and actions. We have not loved You above all things. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Have mercy on us, and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us our sins. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness and confidence, we may approach the throne to find grace to help in time of need. In the joy and peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Pray, O God, You form the minds of Your faithful people into a single will. Make us love what You command and desire what You promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may ever yearn for the lasting joys of heaven. Through Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first scripture reading is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 13, verses 44 to 52. Now, in the early church, when mission work was to be done, the Lord instructed His missionaries to go first to the Jews, the chosen people of God, and then to the Gentiles. As we read of the response of many of those Jews, it is very disheartening to hear how many rejected the gospel and persecuted the ambassadors of Christ. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and contradicting and blaspheming. They opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, 'I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth.' And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. As many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. The second reading is from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 to 7. And here we read of a vision that John received of heaven, of what we have to look forward to. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. This is the Christian church, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Here ends our scripture readings. Praise to you, O Christ. Please stand. We join in confessing our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Continue with the singing of the next hymn, Glorious Things of You Are Spoken. Please stand for the reading of the sermon text. Grace, mercy, and peace be poured out upon you from our loving Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of our Lord that we'll be considering this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So far, text. Please be seated. In the name of the crucified and risen Savior, Jesus Christ, who blesses us with spiritual life. Dear fellow redeemed, a newspaper article in a major U.S. city written some time ago had the headline, "Anger is all the rage at home, at work, on the road. We are collectively losing it." The article drew attention to the troubling and frightening conditions of increasing instances of people venting their anger in various mean-spirited and violent ways. The observation was made that managing one's temper once was considered a virtue, but now society has collectively lost it. To illustrate this, the article stated concerning the present-day society, "On the street, we hiss and snarl and hit. On the bus, we argue and swear. In the car, we flip the bird, curse, and ram other drivers. In our homes, we sulk, pitch dishes, throw punches, and worse. At work, we belittle employees, sabotage bosses, and sometimes reach for a gun. On talk shows, we rage at ex-husbands, girlfriends, children, parents, and neighbors. If none of that works, we drag them into court. And sometimes," one man did last month, that was a while ago, "with his wife and two of his friends, we shot them there." What was noticeably absent in this newspaper article on this topic is the identification of the root cause and the ultimate cure. This should not surprise us when we find the author writing about a so-called prehistoric man, ages, years ago, saying that anger is a good emotion that's gone bad. On the other hand, dealing with the solution is you're angry, you relax, take a deep breath, count to 10 or 100, or you try to get it out of your system by talking about it or writing about it. The world in its spiritual darkness leaves completely out of the picture the reality of the sin-corrupted heart of man, out of which proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, and so on. It also disregards and discounts the existence of a Redeemer God who delivers us from the control of sin and Satan. In the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans, we find a scripture reference that helps us to better understand how it is that there are individuals in society who seem to have no trouble giving free expression to their evil emotions in words and actions, and who apparently have no conscience pangs or remorse over hurting or murdering innocent people. Paul writes about such senseless violence and other immoral behavior in the world and the underlying reason for it, saying, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful." That's quite a list. But it really exposes all the many evils that we find in this sin-corrupted world. And with the help of a godless teaching of humanism, a Hollywood glorifying sex and violence, radical elements of Islam preaching hatred and killing innocent people, and finally, sheer neglect by parents. Unbelievers have been ushered into a society who did not acknowledge the one true God, His holy commandments, or His redeeming love for them in Christ Jesus. As a result, we observe growing numbers of those who do not feel compelled to hold in check their evil emotions, but rather act upon them, give free expression to them, wreaking havoc on others. You know, it's sometimes, or a lot of times, it's kind of distressing to turn on the news or read the news and hear all the wretched things that are happening in our society. And Scripture clearly reveals to us why this is happening. The message from today's Scripture text presents an entirely different picture. It speaks of people who behave in a manner that's quite unlike those that just were described. We read of groups of people displaying reciprocal love for one another. Addressing His disciples, the Lord Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." With these words, Jesus not only exhorts us to love each other and identifies the kind of love that we are to show one another, but also reveals, as Christians, we, by the grace of God, possess a spirit of love by which we're able to speak to and treat one another in a loving, caring way. Anyone who knows the Ten Commandments might wonder why Jesus refers to this commandment to love one another as something new. Why is it new? The fourth to the tenth commandment all clearly prescribe how we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. While the injunction to love is the same, yet what is new and different about Jesus' command is that which lies behind it. Namely, our Savior Jesus Christ enabling us to love each other both in word and deed. The divine commandment handed down at Mount Sinai never carried with it the power to impart or to instill love in the hearts of sinful mankind. In addition to spelling out how God wants us to live in love, the law reveals how we are by nature lost and condemned sinners, and that we've miserably failed to love our neighbor as ourselves. And since that same law reveals our deserved punishment and our inability to save ourselves, it helps us to see how greatly we are in need of a Savior. In 2 Corinthians, Paul testifies that the letter of the law, the Ten Commandments, kills, whereas the Spirit of God gives us life, spiritual life, the ability to love. How vain and futile it is for people in the world to think that disobedient, rebellious, lawless, and perverse people can be changed into loving and caring individuals simply by teaching them what they should do and what they should say, how they should behave, and how this benefits people. Oh, it will help, in some respects, bring a superficial outward change, but it certainly cannot instill love in human hearts that are dead in trespasses and sins, spiritually dead in sin. Spiritual life and love comes from God in Christ Jesus. Scripture says God is love. From Him comes the ability to love one another. In his letter to Titus, Paul tells us how he and all other Christians have been transformed into new creations through the gracious working of God in Christ Jesus. He writes to Titus, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by the works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works, and these things are good and profitable to men." Paul speaks of how Christians, by the grace and mercies of God, are transformed from serving their sinful nature in loveless words and deeds to serving God and showing love for God and our fellow man. This marvelous change takes place by the powerful working of the Holy Spirit through the gospel and word and sacrament. He breathes new spiritual life into our hearts and minds by enabling us to know and to believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Jesus' tremendous, unconditional, redeeming love for us, which He showed by living and dying for our forgiveness and salvation, that instills love in our hearts so that we show love for God and love for our neighbor. Yes, even our enemies. In his first letter, the Apostle John writes the following about the spirit of Christian love, which God creates in our hearts. "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him, and by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. This portion of Scripture brings out another aspect of Jesus' new commandment to love when he speaks of Christians showing love for each other. Christian for Christian. This commandment did not replace or set aside God's will that he revealed in the Ten Commandments to love our neighbor as ourselves. Not at all. But the newness of this command to love others is he is speaking to a special group of people who, unlike the countless unbelievers, are able to show reciprocal love for each other. As Christians, we're able to do this because we share a common knowledge, faith, hope, and love in Christ Jesus. In the book of Acts, we read of that reciprocal love demonstrated by Christians in the early church in Jerusalem. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. Besides this example of mutual reciprocal love, we have evidence of it in the Christian family, of parents showing love for their children and children showing love for their parents, siblings showing love for each other. This stands out as a striking contrast to what we find out in the world. We can be thankful to God that we had Christian parents who brought us early to the Lord. First of all, by bringing us to baptism, so that the Spirit could begin to work in the hearts, our hearts, and the hearts of our children from early on. And then parents bringing up their children and the training and instruction of the Lord. That is truly a great blessing that we should never lose sight of or take for granted when we were given Christian parents who brought us up in the Lord so that we can be spiritually alive in Christ Jesus. As Jesus spoke of showing our love for one another, he said, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Mutual love is a mark of distinction in the world. It's not readily found all over the world. It makes people stand out in society when Christians show that mutual love for one another. And it is Jesus' most fervent hope and prayer that when unbelievers see this difference, they want to find out, why do these people live this way and act this way toward one another in love? With this being said, this does not mean that we never have a problem of evil emotions of anger rising up within our hearts and never being guilty of angry words and behavior. If this were not the case, Paul would not have found it necessary to give us this exhortation when he says to us in God's Word, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you." Because we have a sinful nature to contend with, there will always be times when our sinful emotions crop up in our minds and our hearts, But the Lord helps us through His Word by leading us to repent of them, those sins. And also through His gracious Word to instill increased faith and love so that we're better able to resist those sinful impulses that come from within us. And when we give way to evil emotions, speaking loveless words and hurtful behavior, the Holy Spirit helps us to confess our sins with contrition, sincere sorrow. Look to Jesus in faith for forgiveness and pray to God to help us to love one another just as He loves us in Christ Jesus. And so looking to God, who is the source of faith and love, we pray with the hymn writer. Come, Holy Ghost, God and Lord, with all your graces now outpoured, on each believer's mind and heart, your fervent love to them impart, Lord. By the brightness of your light, in holy faith your church unite. From every land and every tongue, this to your praise, O Lord, our God be sung. Alleluia, alleluia. Come, holy light, guide divine. Now cause the word of life to shine. Teach us to know our God aright and call Him Father with delight. From every error, keep us free. Let none but Christ our Master be, that we in living faith abide, in Him our Lord, with all our might confide. Alleluia, alleluia. Come, holy fire, comfort true, grant us the will your work to do, and in your service to abide, that trials turn us not aside. Lord, by your power, prepare each heart, and to our weakness strength impart, that bravely here we may contend, through life and death to you, our Lord, ascend. Alleluia. Alleluia. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. We'll continue with the next hymn, Renew in Me, O Eternal Light. addition to our general prayer, a prayer request has been made to pray to the Lord concerning those affected by the recent violent storms in our country. Dear Lord God, we approach your throne of grace, mercy, and love for all those fellow citizens who suffered the loss of family members, loss or damaged property, and bodily injury due to the recent violent storms in our country. Draw near to them, O Lord, comfort, sustain, and help them in this time of trials, and bless the efforts for their recovery. For those who do not know you by faith, move their heart to seek after you, and through your word, give them knowledge and faith in you as their loving Savior and Redeemer God. For those who are your dear children, increase their faith, patience, and endurance through your life-giving word, and move their hearts to call upon you for help in this time of trouble. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, you are mighty in power and infinite in majesty. You have created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. As we enter into your presence with thanksgiving and prayer, bow down your ear to us and in your mercy hear us. We give you our thanks that you sent your Son Jesus to offer himself as a sacrifice for all the world upon the altar of his cross, through which we have been fully reconciled to you. We give you all honor and glory, for you have glorified your Son by his resurrection from the dead, with the promise that we too shall rise to eternal life. Grant to us the fullest blessings of this great grace, both now and forever. Our praise to you, dear Lord, for you have transformed the short time of crucifixion, sadness and defeat into the eternal joy and victory of the resurrection. Help us always to hold firmly to Christ's promise of eternal life, to receive it with joy, and to live resurrection lives for your glory. We pray also that you would give your believers an inner zeal to do your will. Send us forth as your ambassadors with a word of life in Christ, so that multitudes may be turned from their sin to faith in our risen Lord. Bestow your favor, dear God, upon our land. Give us a government that preserves liberty, upholds justice, seeks righteousness, and curbs lawlessness. Move us all as Christian citizens to accept our lawful obligations cheerfully, giving respect to those in authority and goodwill toward all. But since our eternal citizenship is with you in heaven, O Father, give us such a measure of your power and grace that we may resist all evil, fight the good fight of faith, and in the end receive the crown of eternal life. Give the comfort of your promises to the sick, the sorrowful, the brokenhearted, and the anxious. Cast out from our hearts all fear of death and the unknown. Give us patience in every trial and trouble, and move our hearts to receive your many great blessings in love and gratitude. These things we ask in the glorious hope of an eternal day with you because of Jesus' life for us as our Savior. And in his name we also join to pray that prayer which he has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please stand for the blessing from our Lord. Following the blessing, we'll be singing the doxology. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Please be seated. We conclude our service with a final hymn. Lord, dismiss us with your blessing. Good morning. Following the service this morning, the church council will be meeting, and also the women's auxiliary will be meeting as well at the same time. I've been in communications with Pastor Neil Radical, who serves in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and he was a former pastor, as some of you may remember, and he greets you all. So may God in his grace be with you always.